The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
Welcome to the very first episode of the She Word Mums. Conversations that mums rarely have, but really should. I am your host, Nerissa Massa, and I am delighted to welcome you to the show today. Oh my goodness, how excited am I to be here, the very first show of the She Word Mums. We are thrilled to be launching this exclusively for mums and cannot wait to discuss so many different topics that impact mums and which perhaps never get to be discussed. In this series, we will be discussing topics such as mum rage, postpartum, navigating relationships after you become a mum, and so much more. Today, we are starting with a topic which I am sure everyone who is a mum can relate to and has experienced. A topic which has so far come up in almost every episode of The She Word which related to parenting, and that is mum guilt and judgment. I have never spoken to a mum who has not experienced at least once in her lifetime as a mum any form of mum guilt. And that is exactly why we have decided to start off this show with this topic. Mum guilt is defined as that nagging feeling that you are somehow falling short, that you're not doing enough, or that your children deserve a better parent. Research shows that a staggering 90% of mums feel mum guilt. 90%. That is insane. As many as 75% of mums admit that they constantly worry about whether they are a good mum. Interestingly, 60% of mums stated that this is comments from other people on their parenting style that made them feel guilty. And this is the judgment that we are all faced with. Some of the reasons mum feel guilty are being too busy to give children enough attention, going back to work after maternity leave, not being able to afford enough, not taking kids on days out very often, telling children off, and the list goes on. To discuss this topic, I have three fantastic ladies and amazing mothers with me today, and I am so privileged that they are joining me on this journey as She Word Mums veterans. So people have been on the show before and joining me on my journey as the first episode, on the first episode of the She Word Mums. I'm going to start. I have Melissa first. So I'm going to just start opposite me. So obviously we couldn't have this show without you.
Oh my goodness.
Mainly because when Trudy and I were coming up with these topics, she mentioned, we have to have Melissa because Melissa was the first person on the She Word Mums to ever mention mum guilt. And so it's so nice to have you come back full circle and discuss the topic with us today. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm doing good. I have nothing to complain about, really. Probably sitting here feeling a little bit tired already because mum life, but doing good. Thank you.
Fantastic. Have I missed anything about you? Would you like to tell us a little bit? Because I've obviously introduced you as someone who's been on the show, but a little bit more about you apart from the mum part of Melissa. Who else makes up Melissa?
What else? I am South African. I've been living in Malta for 12 years. I'm on the wrong side of the 30s. So I've got three kids. I've got an 8-year-old daughter, and then I've got 4.5-year-old boy girl twins, and my husband is Maltese. So that's how I ended up in Malta.
Okay. Yeah. And we're so excited to have you and learn more
about you
as a mum and
Thank
you
for having
how
me.
You have experienced mum guilt. Mm-hmm. Gail, hi.
Hi. I'm back.
She's back. So Gail was on the She Word. I think it was the stay-at-home mom.
I'm still a stay-at-home mom.
Still a stay-at-home mom. So obviously Gail has been on the show before, and I'd watched the show that you were on, and I was like, I have to have her back because she doesn't hold back, and that's exactly what we want from this show. I feel like this is how we represent all moms, by just saying it
exactly.
How it is. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very happy to be back, and I'm very happy I'm your first. We're your first.
And still a stay-at-home mum.
Still a stay-at-home mum, yes.
Perfect. And our last guest, Rosalie Borch. I'm just going to give a brief introduction to you because you were the easiest one to research into exactly what you do. So Rosalie is a roadrunner, OCR athlete, trail runner, CrossFit enthusiast, steeplechaser, PE teacher, WEFA coach, and mom of two kids.
Okay, where did you get all that from?
Your Instagram.
Love it.
Is there anything more I have missed which I need to add?
Ooh, you might in a few years' time, you know? You'll never know what I'll be up to.
So. Amazing. Yes, this is it. Yes.
So yes. I'm Maltese. I am a mom of two boys. One is 8. And one is turning 16. I am a physical educator by profession, but now I ventured into becoming a semi-professional runner. So that's what I do every single day. And really happy to be here with you on the first show. Amazing. Really excited to share all of this because, like you've already mentioned, you've all felt that little bit of mom guilt. But at the same time, it's a really interesting topic for me because if I did feel too guilty, I would have never really, really discovered the athletic part of me. So really, if I hadn't dedicated so much time to work on myself, I wouldn't have ventured into this lifestyle, which I've only experienced really for these last 3.5 years. That's all it's been.
Wow.
So really, I had my first child at 19. So should I have really got into the trap of feeling so guilty, you would just focus too much on that part and not possibly exploring parts of you that you didn't even know about, really.
Mm. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. There's so much we're going to tap into. Just from what you've said, you've just been dropping bombs of things we want to discuss. Amazing.
Life is never plain sailing, but your period is one challenge that shouldn't ever stop you or stand in your way. Tampax is the number one combination for comfort, protection, and discretion. Tampax tampons are independently tested so you can be certain that there's no harmful substances present. Tampax adapts to your unique body shape to provide you protection even when you're living life to the full, because nothing should stop you. Period.
Firstly, I just want to say thank you to all three of them. I know they've all been on the She Word before, but somehow when we're discussing motherhood, it just becomes a little bit more vulnerable. And us laying our opinions and our thoughts and our feelings on the line is something very, very difficult for some people. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to go with a massive question. We've all at some point, it's useless to say, have you ever felt mom guilt? Because I think if the statistics say 90%, then there's a fair chance all of us have felt it.
Mm.
But what does it mean to you? What defines mum guilt to you?
Mm.
How would you define it?
So probably it's always keeping yourself back from doing something simply because you think that by doing it, you're going to get that time off from your children, or maybe spend more time with them into exploring different sports, for instance. So sometimes say to yourself, when you are giving an opportunity, the first thing that comes to mind, okay, how is this going to affect my family and how is it going to affect the children? Probably is the first thing that comes to mind, but really and truly, should it really come to mind first, or should I take it from the perspective of how is it going to impact me? So I strongly believe that if you are a happy mom, if you are doing what you really love, you are going to become a much better mother, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So if you are going to base your decision on how exactly it's going to affect the children, you might keep that part away from you, which might eventually make you a less happier person, not mother, because there's a difference between me being a mother and me being Rosalie as myself. So I say to myself, if I give myself time to invest in what I want to discover from myself, whether it's a new job, whether in my case it's sport, I know I'm going to become a better mother, really. So throughout these last couple of years, this was my constant debate kind of thing. Okay, so if I say no to this opportunity, but I know it's going to make me happy, but I'm going to say no because I'm going to spend a little bit less time with my children,
how is it going to affect? How am I going to balance this out? If I take the opportunity, it's going to make me happy or happier. Isn't it going to make me an even better parent kind of thing? Mm-hmm. So these are always the constant debates that have been in my head, which helped me ultimately to make certain decisions, exactly. For example.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I've seen you, Melissa, nodding along as, and I'm inspired by what you just said, because Melissa and I both have kids probably
younger
than you. And I think it's something we're probably still navigating.
Exactly. Like I was listening to what you were saying now, and I can feel myself slowly getting to where you are, but it's a slow process. And I felt a lot of guilt when they were really, really young, like when they were around your daughter's age or even younger. And I mean, obviously, with the first child, I also felt more guilt than when I had my twins, because I started giving myself a little bit more leniency and, like, you know, don't be so hard on yourself with every single thing that you do. But my guilt was literally in every single thing that I did, single thing. So it wasn't just about, you know, spending time away from them. It was about, I've said this so many times before, but it was like, you know, even what I gave them to eat. What if I breastfed them or formula fed them? If I sent them to bed at a certain time, cloth nappies or
disposable
nappies. It doesn't matter what it was. If I'm raising my voice or if I am not tackling a situation when I need to, it doesn't matter what it was. I was just always beating myself up for every single thing. But like you said, now as time is passing, I don't feel like I'm that heavy on myself anymore, but it's because I'm also starting to care, not care, but you know what I mean. Like
I'm looking after myself. More.
Yeah. Like I'm doing things that will make me happy, because I do know that once I do that, I'm going to come, even tonight, I'm doing something now that I like. Tonight I will go back home and I'll feel fulfilled and I'll be a happy mom, you know?
Yeah.
So
yes,
I do feel like that's one of the most important things that you can do.
Yeah.
And again, the problem with mom guilt is there are a lot of misconceptions that we have to parent. The bar is so high, you know, they have to have the quality time. They need to be well fed. They need to be this. It's like we're trying to protect them from the real world.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what stopped me from feeling guilty is like, listen, life is beautiful, but life is hard.
Yes.
And a friend of mine, I had this conversation 2 months ago, and he said, when we make mistakes in parenting, we're teaching our kids resilience. And that really opens my eyes and makes you see things differently. We can't perfect parent. Mm-mm. Imagine you never yelled at your kid.
Yes.
And then your kid goes to whatever school, exactly. And the teacher yells at them. We can't protect them from the world. And that sort of started to teach me, like, for example, with my first, when she was still a baby and I wanted to go back to exercising, it was just like an hour a week or something. And obviously, like with separation anxiety, as I'm sure all your kids went through, they start crying. I mean, I left her with her dad, not with a stranger, alone at home. But obviously, I was like, you know, you're behind the door and you're like, oh my God, and you're feeling so guilty just because you're going to an exercise class for an hour, you know? And then it's like, but hey, this kid is going to go to wherever, nursery, kinder, school. They have to learn. They have to learn they're safe without mommy. They have, you know. So it's like we're bogging ourselves down with this immense guilt for what? At the end of the day, it's a disservice to your child, I feel, by feeling so guilty.
Yes.
You know, and even though I am a stay-at-home mom, still. But, you know, I do things for myself. I exercise for myself, for my mind and for my body, you know. And we have to just release the pressure.
Absolutely.
You know, because I think as moms, we are too hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And a lot of people go around judging the moms and rarely the dads.
Always.
I feel.
Always,
you know?
Yes. Yes.
And never hear anyone judging that.
You know.
To complement what you are saying, sometimes even it comes even from the environment you're in. For example, if you are leaving and you're leaving them with their dad. When I used to play football all my life. So I used to play, I used to train between 8 o'clock at night till 10 o'clock. So basically I never really put them to sleep kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when they really used to cry because of separation anxiety, sometimes my partner back then used to tell me, you're going to leave him cry. It shouldn't even have been a question kind of thing. It's like, he should have been in this case, like telling me, yes, go, you're going to be with daddy kind of thing. There's nothing wrong with being with daddy, with a safe parent, exactly. You know? So when obviously the children hear that, they're obviously going to do it again and again and again, because they are understanding that mom should be at home with me, like daddy is at this very moment.
Yes.
But this was sort of a routine that happened every single day. So it's not something that wasn't one-off in my case. I mean, it was something that I've done before I had kids. And I said to myself, listen, when I have kids, which back then wasn't even a plan because I was 19, like I said, one thing that I said to myself is, as much as possible, try to keep things going in the same way, because ultimately I'm still 19. I had understood that I'm still 19. And there were so many things that I still needed to do. But if someone at home was telling the child that you're going to leave the child here to cry, you know, it shouldn't even have been a conversation, because the child, that's what he was
conditioned to believe was right.
So absolutely. Yes, but I was so strong about my decision that when I left that door, even if it was really, really crying, I still went to all my training sessions, you know?
And did you experience mom guilt when you closed that door? Or had you conditioned yourself to say, actually, no, this is for me. I don't do bedtime, but I do bath time. I do dinner time. I do breakfast. I take them to school. And so why should I feel guilty?
That's exactly
it. Were you like this from the get-go? Or did that take time to get there?
Exactly. It's the debate that you're having. It's when you're hearing that screaming and shouting and you're going into the car and leaving for training, you are asking yourself, but did I take the right decision? Am I neglecting the child by doing this? But then you start reminding yourself. It's like you have to remind yourself, like, listen, no, you should not be feeling like this. No, don't feel guilty at all. You've prepared all their meals. You prepared their bed. You prepared their clothes. Everything is ready for tomorrow, lunches, whatnot. You know,
it's just a short part of the day that you are not there.
Exactly. So. I went to work as well.
Exactly. So, yeah.
I mean, my partner back then used to go to work, come back, find exactly everything ready in the same way as the child did. Okay, so it's not a privilege for the child or for me to see that you're doing your hours with your child. Listen, I did them throughout the majority of the day. And now it's okay. I'm just not putting him to sleep kind of thing. I'm not reading his story before he goes to sleep. I'm not watching him sleep. But that's okay. That's fine, you know? But yes, because of this idea of mom guilt, it's because mom should be at home, or people created this should and shouldn't kind of thing. You know, there is no such thing in reality. And then I used to be in the car and literally say, listen, I don't need to feel this bad. But yes, it was a process. It was my first child. Mm-hmm. I was still at university. So there were a lot of things going on at the same time. But I say, no, listen, I am coping with everything. I am not depriving him of anything. So no, this is my time. This is my time. Mm-hmm. With my second one, it was easier anyway. Yeah. Everything sets in quite better. And there is a little bit of a gap as well, because there is 8 years.
I was going to ask if that made a big difference, because there's an 8-year gap. So you kind of at that point felt like
you'd mastered mom guilt thing.
Yes. Yes. Apart from that, I was a bit more mature kind of thing in my exactly. decisions. And I think more and more, or less and less, let's put it that way, take it as you want, I felt less guilty. Yeah. You know, I got this child into this world, at least the eldest son has a brother, you know, so he's not going to be left alone growing up. So no, the second one was much, much easier. But like I said, it was a process in the beginning. And in the beginning, I was even guilty for bringing this child into this world in reality, because I was still very young and everything was into the unknown kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think then everything starts settling and life kind of moves on kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to pick on a point that you mentioned earlier about the conversation you had with your friend about resilience. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I was doing research for this show, I came across a study which said that in this day and age, we try to be the perfect parent, mm-hmm. feeding our kids vegetables, no screen time, being mm-hmm. present, fully present all the time, making sure they're not bored, they have all the toys, da-da-da-da-da-da. But actually, if we want to build good children ready to face the world, the amount of present time we need to spend with them is 30%. Just 30%. And when I read that, I was like, what? I try to spend 100% yeah. and I take 10% out of a week for me and I feel guilty. Mm-hmm. And it's 30%. And it's there's the same reasons you mentioned, Gail. It's that because that's when they build their resilience. When they see you being the imperfect parent.
Of course.
That's when they build their resilience.
And when I was sleep deprived and exhausted and, you know, terrible threes and what have you.
Two threes, four.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever age your kids hit it, you know, it's like, you do yell, I yell. Mm. And I used to feel incredibly guilty, but then I said, how can I turn the yelling into a lesson? So I would go and like you would with an adult and say, listen, I'm really sorry, you know, like mm. I did it with my child. That now my own kids, when I go say, so listen, I shouldn't have handled it that way. Yeah. I love you very much. They go, I'm sorry, mommy, we were like pretty horrible. You know, so it works both
at
ways.
Least. Yes.
And there's no perfect relationship and you're never going to get it right all the time. You're going to have bad days. And today we're going to have a brilliant day. And tomorrow's just going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think there is so much pressure on, you know, we feel like, gosh, I'm going to scar my child if I yell at them. And, you know, if they don't have the five a day today, like it's the end of the world. And it's like, you know, we can't. It's we're juggling so much.
But even the words you mention is today we have a brilliant day. Tomorrow we have a mess. We do not accept that we can just have okay days.
Exactly.
Doesn't have to be wow.
Exactly. You know? And even weekends, sometimes I don't feel this anymore. I used to, we didn't take them anywhere special. And without like flipping heck, I used to just sit indoors and play in my room most Saturday, you know?
Yes.
And still I look back and say, what fun I used to have sitting indoors and watching a movie together. And, you know, everything has to be like, you know, hyped up. You have to go out in nature. You have to be, it's got to be fun. What's happening on the island? You see Facebook post. What's happening this weekend? It's like, no, I can't have, you know, something happening every single weekend. Sometimes they need to play and I need to just do my stuff. Or we're just going to sit down and just watch a film like we did in the 80s and the 90s, whatever. You know, it's like this immense pressure to suddenly just keep them constantly entertained, constantly stimulated. You need to spend all of your Saturday with them. And it is impossible. Mm. Like, let's lower the bar. Just let's relax, you know? So my priorities are they're fed, they're clean, you know, they're happy, loved. They're fine, they're loved.
There's a very famous phrase which is used in the UK, which is, if at the end of the day, everybody's fed, nobody's dead, you've done a good job. And sometimes on the really hard days, when they don't want to get into the bath, when they don't want to read a story, when nothing is working, you know, I'm like, when they're in bed, I'm like, everybody fed, nobody dead. Yeah. And that will just have to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it is a tough, tough call. But when we're talking about guilt, I've always wondered, is guilt the right word or is it that we feel inadequate? Have you ever felt inadequate? Like you're not good enough? Like you should be doing more? You know, I yell, so am I an inadequate mom because I don't always handle the situation as well as I should be? Am I inadequate because and maybe it's because I've raised the expectation, but is the issue...
I wouldn't say inadequacy. I would say I second guess myself. Did I handle that properly? Could I have done it this way? Should I have tried that? It's always a constant questioning, you know,
You're nodding or shaking your head.
No, I'm shaking my head. Okay. For me, it's full on inadequacy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No,
tell me more.
I constantly feel like... Well, not constantly anymore, but like in the beginning, I felt like nothing I did was good enough. I needed to be like perfect, basically. I don't know why I had this thing in my head. I don't know.
I was going to ask because I'm curious why you felt...
Like, I
who set the bar? You set it
my
for yourself.
My mom. My mom did. I've said this before. Like, my mom set the bar very, very high. She was also a stay-at-home mom. She was a very holistic, earth type of mom. And I felt like I had to be the same or even better, you know? Like, especially in today's, you know, life, it's not as... I think it's not as easy. It's more, fast-paced nowadays. Yeah. Life is not the same as what it was back then. And I felt like I really had to work hard to get to that level. Like, I really put my mom on a pedestal. So in the beginning, I tried reusable nappies. And okay. I lasted like for a week, not even. Yeah. And everything had to be organic. And I really struggled to find organic food in Malta, you know, like, and I had to make everything myself and puree it myself. There's no way I'm going to buy pouches, you know, like I was really intense. And for me, it was because I always felt like I was not good enough and I have to be perfect. And then once I had the twins, I kind of like loosened up a bit because I just knew that I was going to completely burn out. Yeah. And my big thing after having the twins, because I was really focused on breastfeeding with my first, and that lasted around 13 months. So I was like, okay, did 13 months, that's great. Then the twins came and I was like, how the hell am I going to do twins? and I was literally joining all of these Facebook groups, like trying to like get help from, you know, multiple baby parents and stuff on how to breastfeed twins or triplets or whatever the case might be. And they would be like telling you that you have to hold them like rugby balls and that's how you have to feed them. And I literally got these pillows, you know, like twin pillows where I had to breastfeed them. And I was struggling so much, but I was like, no, there's no way, I'm not stopping. But I was completely burnt out. And then it got to like 3 months after they were born. And I was like, screw that. Like, I'm going on formula now. So, but that gave me a lot of guilt because I switched over to formula. But I just couldn't anymore because I was becoming a zombie and I wasn't a good mom. So I'm saying I wasn't a good mom, but I mean, I didn't have the mental capacity to deal with anything.
Exactly. And this is it. I think this is the balance is between trying to get it right, but being okay with being good enough.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that, you know, you looked at your mother as, you know, she was perfect and she raised the bar high. And I'm sure so many of us have the same. We are lucky enough that so many of us have that bar. But I wonder if what we were looking at or what we remember from our childhood isn't that our mom was perfect 100% of the time. She was definitely not. But because she was perfect to us 60% of the time, that's what we remember.
I completely agree with that. I mean, if I think about my mom back in those days, if like obviously looking at it from my perspective that I have now, I don't think my mom was always 100% happy either, because I think that she was like, this is my life. This is what I have to do now. She didn't show us that she was unhappy, but I don't think she was completely fulfilled in her life just doing what she did.
Yeah.
But because she was there for us, we thought, okay, well, you are perfect. But I don't think, if I look at her now, I know she's not perfect, you know?
Yeah.
But to me, she was the perfect mom. Mm-hmm.
And I suppose your kids will say the same about you.
I hope so. I really hope so.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Without you having to go to be 100% present all the time.
But that's what we need to tell our kids, that nobody is perfect.
Exactly.
Imperfection is, you know, like, we can't set a standard. This is like education. Oh, my kids have to go to university. I couldn't care less what my kids do.
Yeah.
As long as they can set... They can support themselves. Obviously, they need the financial independence, both of them.
Yes.
And do something that you're happy. Why would I set the bar for my kids? You do set a bar. You set a standard, of course. But there's, you know, I remember, Malta, whatever, 10, 20, 30 years ago, possibly a lot of it still today, have to go to uni. Like, such an achievement, going to uni.
Yes.
Then you're going to
become a lawyer.
Then you're going to pass on the guilt to your kids. I didn't go to uni. What a failure I was to my parents. It's like need to really break these things, you know. And if we show our kids that, you know, doing things that you love and doing things for you and giving yourself the priority that you do. And you can do both.
Mm. Yes.
And this is something I think, especially when you're a first-time mom and when your kids are very little, you feel you can't do both. You know, you feel if you're going to give yourself a bit of time, it's at the expense of the kids. Yeah. And it's not.
And you can't give your 100% to every single thing that you do. That's why there needs to be a balance.
Exactly. And you can never say don't feel guilty. I think by default, every mom, as you said, will feel guilty. But then it's training your brain. I always feel there's my heart and then there's the rational side of me. Mm-hmm. So when I start to feel a bit like, ugh, like, poor thing. And then I'm like, hang on a minute. Like, just reason things out. You know, what are you actually doing to this child? Yes, it's like, it. Like tough love.
Yes.
I do feel guilty with tough love.
Yes.
You know, you've promised your...
Cruel to be kind.
You know, exactly. Your child, you're going somewhere and then whatever happened. And it's like, that's not happening today because obviously action, consequence or whatever.
Yes.
I'm not going to go into parenting.
I don't feel guilty about that at all. To me, I'm like, no. I'm like... You did this.
I'm the same. Yeah. I'm the same. When it comes to a consequence, I'm like, no. And I feel
I
so
feel
empowered.
Guilty for 5 seconds. And then I'm like, hang on a minute.
Yeah,
like,
you did this to yourself. Know?
Exactly. And but again, the rational part of you like kicks in, you know. Yeah. When you see the tears, I do feel a little bit like that discomfort, you know. But then it's like, you'll get over it. You'll live. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, sort of.
And they do get over it. Like,
so
in like 2 minutes.
So quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. And the next day they'll be challenging.
Exactly.
No, this is true. And actually I've found that and in that moment you are the worst person in the world. And then 5 hours later, not even an hour later, and you're like all of a sudden you're the perfect mom again. And it's interesting as well when you look at it from the eyes of a child. So we feel guilty about so much. And it's like you were talking about how you see your mom. But the way they see us, they Well, at least because maybe my children are still young, so you probably have a different perspective to this.
I have
but my
a lot
children
to say
still,
about this.
Still think I am pretty much perfect most of the time, except when I give consequences or when I raise my voice, obviously. But they're still at that age. But
I look at
you,
I look at my mom in the same way that you look at your mom. Mm. But growing up, I used to say to myself, this is definitely not the way I want to parent my kids.
Oh.
Today, I look at my mom and I love her beyond measure. But when I had a kid at 19, I said, for sure, I don't want to be the traditional Maltese mom. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this. And we used to argue a lot, me and my mom. I mean, I left home at 18 because of our constant battles, because of my mother had certain standards. And I felt
same.
I did not fit in those standards. Mm. Basic things like my sister used to take my clothes and my mother used to acknowledge or support the fact that, listen, I bought them so she can use them. And I did not like this idea. So, okay, if you think so, I don't agree to this. And at 18, literally over a small argument like that, I decided to up and leave. Back then I had a partner and I went to my partner, which eventually I had is the father of my children. But I am a much different mother to my children than how my mother was to me. But now that my son is 16, we are having
the same similar
problems. We argue all the time. I approach things in a very casual, in my mind, relaxed way. So that means if I have clothes running around the house, I would not be, Nathan, you have to pick up those clothes, you know? Like, there are clothes there that need to be picked up. Okay, mom, boys being boys.
Never happens.
It's always okay, but that's the thing. And then another day passes, can you pick up those clothes? And he'll be like, okay, yeah. After 2 weeks of me saying the same thing in a polite way, then you lose it. You know,
exactly.
There comes the point where you actually lose it. And that's the point when they're the only time that things are done.
Yes.
So then you get this idea in your head. So do I have to yell to get things done? So if I yelled in the same way 2 weeks later, but I did it 2 weeks ago, the clothes would have been sorted out by back then, you know?
Yes.
And I say to myself, so in my head, I was parenting right and giving him the time and space to do clothes when he wants. But then when we fell out over the clothes, the day I yelled, you're always complaining about those clothes. You're always yelling, I don't like this, you know, kind of thing. And we're in the same battle. I used to be with my mom. Mm-hmm. When I used to say that this is not the kind of parenting I want to deal with.
I like what you said there. You said, when I parent, it's almost like when I parent the way I envisioned to parent. And, you know, these days we've got all of the gentle parenting, so different to how we were brought up. When I parent that way, and so if I had to parent that way all the time, I'd go to bed at night and not worry about feeling guilty because I've done it the right way. Nothing gets done. Mm-hmm. When I go back to the traditional ways and raise my voice and threaten and, you know, no chocolate, no whatever, no, then things get done. Yeah. But then I lie in bed at night thinking, I could have handled that differently. Mm. You know, I read so much about gentle parenting and then the minute I just lose it. So
I never bothered reading about gentle parenting.
We're almost saying the mom guilt comes when we have to do things not the way we want them to, but then things get done when we go against it. So it's a constant.
Listen, we're all like pretty much, I'm sure we're all yelled at as kids, you know, and we turned out like fine. Yeah. So if my kid's gonna experience a bit of yelling, it's like, this is the problem again, like with the gentle parenting. You know, it's like, I'm not saying go around and yell at your kids every single day. And It's not even the yelling that bugs me. Sometimes I'll go from 0 to 100.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
if it's gradual, like a little more sweet, and then I'm a little bit like, I warn my kids now, listen, guys, I'm up to here. So they know, mommy, if we're either going to comply or we're going to get screamed at.
Yeah.
So they know now, you know, because obviously I sort of, I'm quite verbal and I express, I'm quite open with them. You know, they're older now. They're obviously 6 and 9. You're not going to explain that to a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old,
I
you know.
Try.
But again, like with the gentle parenting, let's just be realistic, you know, because at the end of the day, and I think moms especially will get this, it is so hard. And again, it's just added pressure. Like now I've got gentle parenting, what are the techniques and what do I have to do? And it's just like, you can't.
Because
just,
it doesn't come natural to us because we weren't brought up
and
like
we
that.
Exactly. I think that's what my problem is I've tried, I mean, in the beginning. but it didn't stick because I wasn't brought up that way. I mean, I wasn't brought up with parents screaming at me, but I was brought up in the typical way that kids were brought up in the 80s and 90s, you know? So it just doesn't come naturally to be like, sweetheart, what is your feelings today? You know, like, I can't.
But do you think, because when I think about it, and I've asked my mom this, like, did you feel mom guilt? She, and maybe she was young at the time and she wasn't so aware of it. But do you think we feel more mom guilt now because of things like social media and influencers?
Yes and no. I think our moms did feel guilty because obviously, like, I was quite a rebellious teen, I think. And till today, my mom tells me, oh, that day I didn't let you go to Gozo, you cried your heart out and I did feel... but I knew I did the right thing and she did do the right thing. So obviously, she did feel mom guilt. But yes, what you're coming to is, you know, the standard then, the standard now is like up here. You were saying...
I feel like it's much harder
organic,
now.
Organic, this, that. I mean, food is my passion and nutrition is one of my passions, you know, so I pride myself in, you know, the balanced meals and whatever. But hey, have I thrown a chicken nugget in the oven or the air fryer? Of course I have. Have I
Exactly.
And have I said, sod it, today you're ordering a pizza, you know, because I'm just done. I can't look at another, you know, plate or saucepan. So yes, we've all done it. But again, it's like when you're on social media or whatever, it's like, it's a crime. Mm-hmm. And this, and I think even as adults, everything has to, the bento boxes, don't start on the bento boxes, you know.
I can't stand it. Like, I got a sandwich.
What are the bento boxes?
No. I just went to school with one sandwich.
Yes.
You know, whether
one sandwich, my mom did chuck in like a couple of celery sticks and stuff. You know? But, you know, like, what, you get like Facebook groups now of like, you know, what moms post.
Oh my God, please.
This is the good thing about living in the UK, because the children get lunches at school.
Oh my word.
Which I think should be done, by the way, all around.
Because me too.
Children will eat better when they're all eating the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But the bento boxes drives me nuts.
Is the bento boxes the one?
And
the different compartments.
Yeah, with the fruit.
With the sandwiches in the shape of Mickey Mouse. Yes. And then cut out strawberries.
Each little compartment has... This one is like dairy.
Yes.
Vegetables. Yes. Fruit.
How many crackers? Children out of 100 would eat...
Look, my eldest is quite good with food and likes her fruit and it's fine. Give her one strawberry in her lunchbox and it will come back. But then she'll eat a punnet after school. So I say, why am I even feeling pressured to put, I don't care who judges me. I don't care what the teacher thinks. I don't care what the other moms think. I don't care what her friends think. I tell her, what do you want to eat? You know, because I'd rather she just eat. I mean, anyway, it's such a short day in Malta, the school day. So it's like, as long as she has her breakfast, she'll be fine. And she'll make up for it when she comes back. But all you're seeing on social media is, you can't even buy a simple lunchbox
so
anymore.
Irritating. I'm
you know,
sorry.
It's all 6 million compartments. Yes. And what the heck do I put in that, you know? And it's just like, why am
it's
I
like
being...
even double dicker, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. And it's like all this pressure. Why? For them to survive from 8 o'clock till 1:30. It's like, they're going to live if they just have a piece of white bread, you know? Or even like a handful of crisps. It's fine, they're kids, they're gonna manage, you know, like exactly. All this pressure to feed and the organic.
Do you do that at home when they, like, let's say, for instance, between 8 and 2 on a Saturday, like, do you give them little small bowls with all of these little different things? No.
Exactly.
So do we do it as well because we fear getting judged because the other mums are doing
yes.
it?
Yes.
It's part of it,
100%.
Judgment?
No, 100%. I couldn't care less though.
No, I'm saying like the other parents, the reason why people do it is because...
And it's Instagrammable.
Yeah.
You know, everyone exactly. is obsessed to Instagram their whole lives, you know.
Yes, 100%.
For sure. And they need that validation. I'm such a good mom.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's
you know,
it.
I'm getting it right. My kid goes with the bento.
Look at this
box.
Balanced meal that my kid gets every day. But my son's teacher actually called me and she said to me, just pack in a sandwich for him because he's way too messy at school. Like if you pack in yogurt and like egg or whatever, he just goes...
Yeah.
Like everywhere. So she's like, he likes sandwiches, pack in a sandwich. So I was like, you know what? For all of them from now on, I'm going to give them a sandwich and a fruit. That's it. I survived with only a sandwich
exactly.
and that's it.
Yeah. You know? And a little chocolate because we were allowed at the time to have a little chocolate in our
lunchbox. I told my daughter that we used to have tuck shops and the tuck shops had chocolates, chips, sodas. Whatever, like pizza slices, pies. And she's like, can we please move back to South Africa? And I'm like, I don't think anywhere in the world they're going to do that anymore.
Do you see a difference now? Because we're talking about social media and conscious you've got a 16-year-old. So probably social media wasn't as big then. But do you see a difference parenting your 16-year-old versus your 8-year-old with respect to the influence of social media?
I wouldn't say so as such because I think times had already started changing back then. Let's put it that way. More I see from the perspective that at school they empower them, the children, to a point that, listen, if mommy, not if mommy, but okay, let's not mention the empowerment part now. But at school as well, they are giving them, for instance, these vegetable packets.
Yeah. Same.
Do any of your children eat that?
Goes straight in the bin.
It goes straight into the bin.
Mine eats it, but...
But at school, they are telling them, the children, they are empowering them to encourage us to send them this type of food. But then from school, they're coming back home with it. And then when you tell them to eat them, they just throw them away. So I don't know exactly what to do with this part.
And it's like I don't need the school to tell me how to feed or the government or whatever.
Yes, but
I think
when
scheme,
you send them something
you know,
that they it doesn't go
I get
wrong
it if
with
some, like some, you do, I mean, we are... great parents, but you do get some people who might not enforce that, you know, like they might not give their kids balanced meals or I don't know.
But I feel don't judge because you don't know what anyone is going through. I mean, it could be anything from financial difficulties, problems at home, just suffering from depression, whatever it may be. Yeah. And quite frankly, I'm so busy and I'm so like overloaded mentally. I couldn't care less what someone else's kid is eating.
Mm. Yes.
Let them be. Your choice is your choice. But don't interfere in my choice. Mm. Both ways. I mean, like if someone is really happy to have the bento box, go
yeah,
for
exactly.
it.
Yes,
like,
yes, yes.
You know,
that
amazing.
Is your life mission,
you know,
then do
but
it.
I'm even no less of a mom, or I'm not, you know, not as good as you because
the
I
the bento
don't
box
send.
Is not the judge of my motherhood.
Exactly. And you can't
but
judge.
I feel like a lot of people think that is. Like,
yes, and because you can't judge on a lunchbox.
No.
No.
And maybe this kid goes home and, you know, eats crisps all day. How are we to know? You
exactly.
know what I mean? But it could be the other way around. Like my kid will go to school with an unhealthy lunchbox, but then eats perfectly fine at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and quite frankly, just to have a 15-minute break mid-morning, couldn't care less what I put in this lunchbox.
Oh,
but we're always constantly,
lunchboxes.
You know, feeding. We're always fed. You know, they have to
yeah,
eat this well balanced.
Minutes,
send a healthy snack. Yeah. Don't send nuts. Don't send any chocobos. Don't. It's like,
yes,
let's just chill,
one,
you know?
It?
Like, and then you.
So do you think that there is judgment when it comes to doing things in front of other mums? So for example, in a playground, your child is acting feral. In an ordinary world, you'd be like, get down. In front of other moms, you're like, darling, please, can you come down gently? And everyone thinks you're this amazing parent. Do you feel...
No, I go like to them and I'm like, you get down here right now. Or like I would talk like through my teeth.
Yes,
like,
well, I do that a lot. But I find because I live in the UK, women don't shout at their kids. At all.
Mm.
When I come to Malta, it's a relief.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
people actually shout, you know, like, get Loud. Down on the slide, it's dangerous. I'm like, thank God. Yeah. But do you ever feel judged or do you ever feel certain amounts of shame when talking about parenting decisions you make in front of other mums?
So I can start off. This by saying, like, really and truly, now I'm comfortable to say that I choose my battles, and definitely one of them is not to decide whether or not someone else needs to decide for me if I'm a good mom or not. Mm. For instance, small examples that I can think of, two actually. My son, my little one, loves costumes. And you know, it's odd when you see children wearing costumes when it's not carnival time.
Mm.
And he loves wearing them. So with my eldest, I used to be like, no, because if people see me around with Spider-Man going around on the streets, people would look at me funny. And with my little one, I completely changed the approach.
Yes.
Like, you want costumes? No problem for me. Everybody would looking at us. I look them in the eye and say, listen, do you think I was going to argue with him over whether or not to
but
be
but everyone
in a costume?
Knows that it's the child actually dressing himself. Like, they know that it's the child expressing himself. So I've completely agree with what
but
you are saying.
With my eldest, I used to be much more reserved.
And
what
fear
are
judgment.
They going to think?
Yeah.
I feel also Malta being so small and because everybody knows each other, you know, it's not like bigger countries where, you know, like you probably hardly see your name. And then if you know, there is, you can tell me more, like at school, you know, it's all the moms and everyone knows each other. And so I feel you're judged more easily here.
Yeah. Yes. Because
you know, we're a very small
and
community.
This is tying into the bento box, you know.
Exactly.
Let's send all of the cucumber sticks and carrot sticks in their bento box so other moms can appreciate. But then when they come out of school, let's buy them a greasy donut and, you know, shut them up while we drive
but
home.
But quite frankly, I couldn't care less if they want to feed their kids. I don't judge the mom who buys the greasy donut because I don't know what she's doing the rest of the week. I don't know what that kid ate today.
A treat.
You
so
know,
what?
But
maybe
then don't, you know,
don't judge me back.
Don't judge others.
Exactly.
You know, if you want to do your own thing, you parent. I think parenting is something so specific to the family.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, you bring up this kid together with your partner or not. The decision is yours, you know, and you choose. So we are nobody to judge, but people do judge and people do gossip. And quite frankly, sometimes it's like, I don't even want to engage with some. With most moms, if I'm honest, but that's me, I'm a bit weird that way. You know, I don't like I've never done the mommy club and the mommy and baby, because even that I found very, too overwhelming for me because everyone has an opinion.
Comparing stories.
Yes. What? And you don't do this at night and the bottle feeding and your breastfeeding and your this.
Yes.
And it's just like when my kids were very, very young, I was just like, you know, me, my kid, you know, my husband, and that's it. I couldn't be bothered. I didn't seek mom and toddler groups and, you know, because I think that is added pressure because everybody has an opinion.
And everyone's doing it differently.
Exactly.
There is no one who's going to do it the same. I found I do it differently between my first and my second because they're different babies. So, but yes, I found a lot of mom guilt come through from like all of these mummy and baby classes.
Even that, because I didn't do them, I felt guilty as well. Like, am I hindering my kids' social life? You know, it's like...
Sure, a six-month-old really needs to interact with other, other six-month-olds. But and this is it. It's like, you know, it's a catch-22. Whatever you do, whatever decision you make, a mum will always, for a big amount of her time as a mum, lay in bed at night and at least question one decision she's made.
For sure.
Have I made the right decision today? Yeah. Which, by the way, I don't think a dad ever does.
No.
It's a mum thing. And it's I was actually listening to the She Word podcast where Emma Hogg was a guest. And she said, mum guilt is a biological thing innate in us.
Yeah.
Which
I was going to mention that now.
To help us protect our child.
Yeah.
Because if we don't feel guilty, if we don't feel guilt, then we're not acting in their best interest.
And then men are wired to be like the hunters. So they need to be the ones that go out and like, you know.
Get the food.
Yeah, and basically look after the family while the mom is at home and doing as you said. So Emma explained it to me in that way as well. And it makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. But I think we've then taken it to the next level of, okay, mom guilt. Let's go 100% perfect mom. Let's go. Cucumber and celery and carrots all day. Let's go no screen time. Let's go outdoors every day. Let's go super special weekends, super special holidays, you know, gentle parenting and all this on sleep deprivation. And all of this.
You see, like, you know, with the lunchbox, is just literally a snippet. You can't judge.
No. Sure.
A whole, it's like kids. Before I had kids, because... As I said in the previous podcast, I never wanted kids and never liked kids, you know. Some kid was screaming. I'm like, gosh, what a brat.
Yeah, exactly.
Both parents are useless, you know.
Yeah. I would never let my kid do that.
Exactly. Yes. Then you have your own and your two-year-old is like having a meltdown on the floor in the supermarket. And you're just like, no, not mine. No. Going on. You know, then you're like, you know, that's when you stop. And quite frankly, parenting has made me... less judgy, you know, like when you see kids on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
Before I was that, you know, single, traveling alone, going, oh, eye rolling at every kid. Yeah. Like, you know, how dare they, you know, like leave their country for a week, you know, like they should never travel until that kid's 18.
Yeah.
You know, one of those people, you know. And then I had my own. I'm like, gosh, it's going to bite me in the ass. You know, so then you realize I can, it's like when you see other kids now, I think as moms we become more empathetic as well.
Yes,
you know,
sure,
so like now when you see a mom, you go, oh,
thank God I'm
over that phase. But obviously you can't judge, you know. We just need to be kinder, I think, to one another as moms and as women in general, I think.
Yes.
One big difference I see between me as a mother with my eldest who is now 16 and my little one is that the little one sometimes sees me as the breaking the rules kind of mom, something which my eldest would have never seen me in, the sense that they both have many extracurricular activities in the afternoon. It's because I love sport and I want them into sport. Mind you, they can choose with whatever sport they like, you know, kind of thing. But sometimes you get home and we're exhausted after the extracurricular activities to a point where I know that if we're going to start the homework late, my child is going to give me a really hard time, a big tantrum to do it. So I say, listen, sometimes we arrive late at home, so late that I send an email to the teacher. I say, listen, I'm sorry, we did not manage to do the homework today. We'll do it tomorrow because we had extracurricular activities. Today I'm comfortable doing it. But with my eldest, it would have been back then like, no, the homework has to be done. It's got to be done. You know, it's for today. Everybody else, his homework is going to be there. And I think even my son back then, he used to understand like, yes, we have to do it. It's because that's what I used to portray in him. With my little one, it's my approach with him is different in a way.
More relaxed.
That it's okay if we don't get to do the homework. I had basketball today, so, and I'm really tired. And it's not something that we do every single day, you know, but...
But those things are also important.
It happens, you know. Even with the lunchbox, going back to the... Sometimes I do give him something that I do tell him, try to hide this from the teacher. Yeah. You know, so eat this without your friends seeing you. And last time he came home and told me, my friend saw me and she kind of ruined my plan because she went to tell the teacher. And then I received an email telling me that this is not allowed and this is not allowed. Sometimes I do try to break the rule again. You tell me, but you didn't learn your lesson. But my child, if he sees it in the lunchbox while I'm doing it, he tells me, no, because the teacher will shout at me. And I'm like, you can't sneak it in. And he's like, no.
So you break the rules more than your child.
You break the rules. You know, but I don't feel guilty because, like you're saying, he has grapes, he has strawberries, and then he'll have a small little waffle with hidden chocolate inside.
Oh my word.
Come on, it's okay, you know. I mean, he's a really physically active child. And I say to myself, there is literally nothing wrong.
It's better
wrong
eating it as a child
this.
Than at my age.
But,
you know?
But just like Gail was saying, the lunchbox is a snippet. What people don't see is the sports activities he does, how much he eats grapes at home, how much he eats vegetables with his dinner. How, you know, there are children who have this amazingly healthy lunchbox and then go home to have chicken nuggets, whatever. And I feel like we're really stuck on the food. This has really bothered us.
But I do think that food is also a massive part of guilt for a lot of parents.
Yes,
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
You don't feel guilty sometimes going into fast food outlets and then buy junk to your child, because I do it sometimes as well. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
But then you are inside there and there's the outlet that's full and you'd say, are all these people thinking the same thing?
Yeah.
Yes, no.
And I know that, no, this week they had their pasta, they had their rice, they had, so why should they? And why should they feel guilty? I think it's so bad as well for the child. I want my kids to have a healthy relationship with food. And it's all about balance at the end of the day.
Agreed.
You know, so even this obsession with eating organic, I mean, how accessible is organic food, as you said?
Not at all.
You know, how budget friendly is organic food?
Super.
Exactly. So it's like...
But also, when you think about it, I'm pretty sure, hand on heart, my mother never sought out organic fruit and veg for me.
Yeah, but the fruit and vegetables were very different back then.
Yes. But in the world we live in, you know, how accessible is it to always... And this is why sometimes I now don't feel guilty giving my daughter pouches, which I never did with my son. Because I say, well, these are all organic fruits. So.
With the first, you're always reading labels. And with my seconds, I have a plasma. I have a rust.
And actually, that ties me very well to my next question, which is, does the guilt ease as the kids get older or as you have more kids?
Yes, I feel with the second, it does ease, you know, because even the time is different. I hardly spend time alone with my second because I had my first.
Yeah.
And I start to feel guilty, but I'm like, these children are going to live in a community, you know, they're going to have friendship groups, they're never going to be in the limelight, even if you are an only child, quite frankly. So I shouldn't feel bad because I didn't spend so... And plus, that's all he knows or she knows. It's not like suddenly I abandoned this kid and I'm not spending time with them. They were born in it. They had to share the attention with their sibling. So be it. Then the older you get, you do feel less guilty and you start to understand and rationalize a bit more. Plus, you're in different phases of your life.
Yes.
Like now you will see as your kids grow older, and I'm sure you can tell me more, is you gain more independence even as a mom. You have more time to yourself, you know.
Yes.
But then I feel once they hit the teens, because obviously I haven't entered them, they need your attention again. I think the mom guilt will kick in again because then there's a lot of, no, you're not allowed to do that yet, or you're too young yet. So, you know,
nodding.
The screen time.
It's a different level. That's the thing. What I was going to say exactly on this is that with my eldest, he was my only child for 8 whole years. So I've given him the time. I gave him whatever he needed. You know, I took him football and whatnot and athletics and swimming back then. And in the end of the day, it's okay. Teenage years, you know, their hormones are changing. But I feel like I've given him this amount of attention and what I think this was best at the time.
Yeah.
I'm still getting the backside of it now. You know, I'm still being told I am from his side. You know, we're still arguing, we're still fighting, we're still having the same similar fight I used to have with my mom. So now with my little one, more and more I understand that, listen, even if I had to give them both the whole world, which I believe I did give him the whole world, whatever I could, but meaning by the whole world, I'm still struggling with him now in his teenage years. So listen, we cannot say to ourselves, no matter how much you give them, I think we're still going to have new levels of trouble with them. Let's put it that way. Yes. And you said,
of course, now it's unnatural. They're getting older. Exactly.
So now I feel I'm being thrown into the unknown. It's the next level. Mm. Now he has a girlfriend, for example. How do I handle that part?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I'm experimenting. Should I be speaking to him about her? Or am I going to find resilience?
Yes.
Resistance. Sorry, not resilience. Resistance, you know? And sometimes he's in the mood where he feels like speaking to me about it. And sometimes as soon as I mention half a word, like, I don't know, she's into sport as well, shall we go and watch her play? I don't know. And you'll be stuck there thinking, okay, so what did I do right? What did I do wrong? Mm. Okay, let's leave it for now, you know? And I'm still experimenting.
So it just evolves.
It's a journey, exactly. You can read all the parenting books and go on all the blogs and the websites and what have you. There's no one size fits all. And it's trial and error. This approach worked today. It might not work tomorrow. So you changed. You know, it's forever evolving. And I think as adults, I see my relationship now with my mom is very different.
Yes. Of course.
You know, course. And then when you become a mom, it's very different, you know. And
as
so
Melissa
it's,
was saying.
Exactly. It's forever changing. And it will be the same with our kids.
Yeah. Well, I feel like each phase of their childhood comes with challenges. So sometimes you wish for a certain phase to pass, like let's say, for instance, newborns. You wish that phase would pass so you can just sleep. And then you wish that, you know, the terrible threes would end because that's a tough phase. And then when it comes to teenagers, that's a tough phase. So each phase has challenges that you have to deal with and that you can end up feeling guilty about the way you deal with those challenges, you know? Yeah. Because if I think about my mom, you actually mentioned earlier, do we think that our moms felt guilty back in the day? I know for a fact my mom still feels guilty about certain things that she did, you know, back in the day. And one of the biggest periods of her guilty time was when we were teenagers, the way that she handled certain things when we were teenagers. So I can't say I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. And actually, this is how I want to kind of tie the whole mum guilt topic and kind of tie it over is, you know, mum guilt evolves. But in the very beginning, Rosalie, you mentioned how you have come to learn how to overcome it to a certain extent. It's always going to be at the back of your mind. It's always going to be one of the things you think about before you fall asleep. But you've spoken, Gail, probably more so than Melissa and I, who are still in the trenches of early motherhood, how to start dealing with it. And I guess if you could give me your piece of advice on how you overcame mum guilt or how you learned to live with it.
Okay, so I think the first thing that I did is looked into myself and I said, okay, the kids, for sure, not for sure, the kids are going to grow and they're going to eventually move into their own life. So when I look back into this time that I can't get back when they are old enough to just do their own thing, how do I want to look at myself as the one who stayed back from things to just see them progress? They're still going to progress. I'm still going to be there. But do I do it by depriving myself from achieving what I want to achieve? And I said, when I look back, I don't want to look back and say, oh, what a good mother I was. I helped them to this and that. And that was the part of me that I can see. I said, no, there are so many things that I can do now that I am 28, 29, 30, that I'm not going to be able to do when I'm 40. And one of this was pursuing my dream of becoming an athlete. If I wait, it's for them to grow. I mean, I invest in myself about 3 to 4 hours per day for training. right? So I can't do that to become an athlete at 40 when they are old enough to start their own life.
Yeah.
And by 40, I mean 40 because I had a child that's young. Mm-hmm. Some people have kids at 35. So yes. What then? Mm-hmm. You know, okay, maybe they would have achieved whatever they wanted to achieve before. But in my case, I said to myself, I don't want to just look back and say, Illahua, certificate for being the best mom in the world.
Mm.
You know, not just that. I want to be there. I want to be a good mom, but I didn't want it to
That's
stop
not fulfilling
there.
Enough.
No, it wasn't. I had so many other things that I wanted to reach, and I didn't want them or my idea of feeling guilty of them to not let me pursue whatever I wanted to pursue in my life.
That is so beautiful. You know?
And this is exactly how I evaluated myself in these 3 years, in the transition of me actually becoming an athlete. One other reason why I didn't discover this part of myself is because I had back then a partner who, in a way, kept me in this bubble that, listen, no, we have to be parents first. We have to do this, we have to do that. And it's only when I lose ties with this idea that, no, it's not just
Doesn't
that. There's a lot more to me. And if I hadn't understood that I am still going to be a good mom, but I can still become whoever I want to be, that's when I let go and I said, no, I'm going to prioritize myself as well. Because I also understood that if I prioritize myself, I'm going to be much happier. And that eventually in itself is going to make me a better mom.
Happy mom, happy baby.
Happy mom, happy kids.
Happy,
you know,
yeah.
There was a time where the children used to see me so stressed in the beginning of this exploring myself into becoming an athlete. It was still an idea. It was something that I haven't even yet understood that it could be a possible thing. That my children, when they used to see me stressed, they used to grab my running shoes and they say, go and run.
Wow.
Go and run. And that is
They recognized it before you.
Yes. My eldest used to say, Ma, you need a run. And they used to, you know, it was a joke kind of thing. You need a run.
Mm.
You know, when they see me going around the house, trying to maneuver everything and handle everything, Ma, you need a run.
Whoa.
Because they knew that when I came back,
you
I was
would
a
be
different
better.
Person. Totally
it's almost like
person.
They knew what you needed
exactly.
before you even did.
Exactly. And that's when I said to myself, this is how, when I look back, this is what I want to see. I want to understand that I was there for the children. I never left them short of anything, but I still fulfilled whatever I dreamt of. And this is how I explored different sports, different ideas of myself that I wouldn't have discovered if I didn't let go of the idea of feeling guilty.
Oh, wow. For me, and I think I'm looking at you as well, it's something which is so inspiring and refreshing to hear, especially as moms of younger children. But the children are never going to be old enough to, you know,
exactly.
to not need you. They will always need you.
Yeah.
But they will need the best version of you.
Exactly.
And they deserve that best version of you.
Mm-hmm.
Gail, do you have anything to add?
Yes. I won't. She said that
Nailed
perfectly.
It.
Exactly.
Nailed it.
I won't go there. But don't feel guilty if you've made mistakes.
No.
We can't be always, you know, it's part of life. Discuss it openly. When your children are over, the conversations are easier. Obviously, you'll have to adapt.
Yes.
But we will get it wrong and we'll keep getting it wrong, you know, but we can't offer perfection because at the end of the day, we're not preparing them for future relationships, friendships, you know, partnerships,
yes.
whatever it is, business relationships. There are going to be conflicts. Nobody's going to get it right. We live in a social setting. So I can't feel guilty for being imperfect. If your intentions are good, and you can still prioritize your children, as you said, and prioritize yourself.
Can you say that
you know?
Again? I can't feel guilty for being imperfect. That's
exactly.
so true.
Mm-hmm.
Because perfection is unachievable. You know, and if you just let the pressure off and you're teaching your child, we're going to have conflicts, we're going to argue, we're going to lose our temper, we're going to have fallouts. But as long as you bring it back and your intention is where it needs to be, you
yes.
know,
listen,
then you can let go of the guilt.
Saying sorry to the children is okay as well. Like, listen,
it's important.
Yes,
it's important. Teaching them that everyone
it's
makes
fine.
And they will learn that when they're older adults, you don't want them to be people pleasers because they will feel guilty. You want to teach them, listen, your self-worth is also important. Mm. Yeah. Looking after yourself is very important.
And if you don't model that, then how will they
exactly
ever learn that?
So you have to pave the way. So then, and I always say, like, rationalize the guilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when you're like feeling terrible, just say, but they're fine now. They're playing with their toys. They came for a cuddle. So it's going to be okay, you know, and move on. You know, like, just try and rationalize it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like with everything, practice, you know, the more you do it, the more you will feel better. Because I did feel that guilt. But then I started to, especially when people point it out, like friends of mine who had kids before, I'm going, they're going to live, get over it. Don't be ridiculous.
Exactly.
So if you start to coach yourself and tell yourself, don't be ridiculous. Look at them. They're happy, they're fed, they're happy, they're, you know, move on. So that's sort of my advice would be to anyone really sinking in the guilt at the minute.
Yeah.
Melissa, do you have anything?
I don't feel like I can say anything after these two ladies, but I do completely agree with everything that you have said. I 100% agree.
With all of the judgment and everything that goes around mums, when you became a mum, what was the worst piece of advice you were given? And if you had to choose the best piece of advice, whether it was given to you or whether it's a mum hack you've learned to give, to pass on, what would that be?
Mm. I feel like that will require some time to think.
And I didn't give you any time to think. I'm
ready. So worst advice was, well, not worst, as in I really didn't agree with it. Oh, the kids have to fit into your life, not you fit into the kids. And I think both are wrong. The kids fitting into my life, you know, like, no, I'm not partying till 2 a.m. anymore, you know, because I have a kid, you know. So obviously the kid can't fit into my life. But then again, as we said, it can't be 100% all about the child all the time. So that advice was sort of the worst advice I was given when I was like still had a kid stuck to my boob. I was like, you know, and my advice would be, don't accept unsolicited advice.
Yes. Oh, yes. Love that.
Because I am still receiving unsolicited advice and unwelcome advice. And sometimes it's like, you do things your way and let me do things my way. Mm-hmm. If I ask you for advice,
of course,
by all means. If you're a very close person to me and you know I can take your comments on board, do share. But don't go around, you know, just wherever you are, people's house, whatever, and start, you know, you should do this and you should do that. That's, you know, because that's when the guilt will start. Someone might not be feeling guilty and suddenly you've planted a seed. Mm. Yeah. So do not give
unsolicited advice.
And, you know.
Yeah, that's, I 100% agree with the unsolicited advice. I mean, I didn't have a lot of time to think now, but I would say that someone told me, after I had my first child, that, and I think it's great advice, is that children do not need so much. Like, you don't need to give them so much. You don't have to give them so many toys. You don't have to, even when you prepare for a baby, you know, like all of these little gadgets and stuff that they, that you need, like hardly any of those things I ended up using.
Yeah.
So by the time that I had the twins, I really simplified everything and it made my life much easier, less clutter and more clear mind. So I do feel like the person that told me to just keep it simple, great advice, because you don't need so much crap. Sorry. And then
that's true.
Worst advice. I can't remember who said this to me, but someone told me, like, don't worry so much about routine. And I'm just like, sorry, but it's all about routine. routine, I feel like, especially in our life, I mean, people have their way of doing things. But I cannot function without routine in our household with kids. And I think kids thrive off routine. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, obviously you don't always have to be like a drill sergeant. Like, you know, it's 7 o'clock, you need to be in bed. But I feel like our household functions better if there is at least somewhat of a routine. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the person who told me routine is not very important.
Not for you.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Rosalie.
Okay, but at the same time, to complement this, For example, my sister is very much into routine. If her child needs to be at home to sleep at 8, there is no way that no other events will occur at that time. Mm-hmm. I, on the other hand, was very, very different. Okay, maybe I was 19, 20 at that time. So I still had friends that were going out for dinners late.
Yeah.
I didn't want my child to dictate what I do. So this was from the start kind of thing. I had my idea. And it back then it was like the traditional way kicks in, kind of your parents tell you what you have to do because they did it 30 years before that. And they expect you to do kind of their own, the things in their way. So that would be the advice that I would say is one I would not take on. And if there was a dinner at 8 o'clock, I did not want the child to dictate whether I'd go or not. If I put it in my head that we're going, even if it meant breastfeeding outside or whatnot, it was not going to change my plans because my baby is not comfortable outside. No.
I think that's great though, because it's not like it's a every single day type of thing, you know? Like that's why I said, don't stick to it like a drill sergeant.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
But allow some flexibility.
Exactly. I did struggle with flexibility, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I struggle with it because it makes me feel uncomfortable and anxious. But the fact that you were able to do that, I think is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
That, and I would also say that one of the first things I was told when I gave birth, like, no, you're not going to go back to football, eh? Oh. Thankfully, I had a really easy birth. I mean, no stitches, no nothing. The child just literally came into this world really quickly.
It was you being so young.
It's different with the second one, of course. Yeah. I was 8 years older. But 1 week later, I was playing football and people were looking at me in a bit of a judgmental way as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, back then when I had just given birth, I mean, one of the first questions you needed to ask me was if I'm going to go back to football, like
when?
Now you're not going to go back to football, like now you have to care for the child. And I'm like, yeah, right. Just watch me. And that, you know, kind of thing.
Wow.
Just I'll let you say what you want to say kind of thing.
I love how you
and
ended
1 week
up just
later,
watching.
I had my end of year university exams in the morning and in the evening I was playing football. So that's how it was, you know.
Thank you very, very much, ladies. I think
Thank you.
That was a brilliant first start to the She Word Mums, and I cannot wait to discuss more and more topics. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.